Thanks to those of you who supported the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. through the charitable grant program of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, Thrivent Choice, we received more than $15,000 last year through Thrivent Choice. Our goal this year is to raise more than $20,000 through Thrivent Choice. For more information on how you can designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio, look for the Thrivent logo under the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
So, anyone can marry anybody else. Okay? So, anybody can marry anybody else. Anybody can marry several people. So, if everybody has a right to be happy. So, if you're not happy unless you're married to five other people, is that okay?
No, we're
asking. I'm asking her, is that okay? And reason says that if you think it's okay for two, then you have to differentiate with me as to why it's not okay for three, right? I mean, okay, so you're feeling...
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, so three.
That's GOP presidential candidate Rick Santorum speaking earlier this month at Keeney Public Library in New Hampshire, comparing same-sex marriage to polygamy. Well, in that interchange, you may have heard it there, the girl that he was talking with finally did admit that, well, you know, if I'm going to change the definition of marriage to include two people of the same sex, then if more than two people of the same or different sex want to get married, in her words, yeah, go for it. Now, Leonard Pitts Jr. has written recently in his national column that, well, this is just an example of social bigotry on the part of Santorum and all other social conservatives, and Santorum deserved the booze that he got from the college students there in New Hampshire. Joining us to react to this, Frank Turek, he's founder and president of CrossExamine.org, author of the book Correct, Not Politically Correct, How Same-Sex Marriage Hurts Everyone. Frank, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hey, Todd, thank you.
I read Leonard Pitts' article. Do you think that Leonard has missed Senator Santorum's point?
Yes, because Leonard is trying to say that this slippery slope argument doesn't work when Santorum is saying if you're going to use the justification that just because two people love one another, they ought to get married, if you're going to use that for same-sex marriage, that same justification could be used for any two people. It could be, or any three, or four, or five. It could be used for an incestuous couple. It could be used for a polygamous couple. It could be used for almost anything. So if you want to make an argument for same-sex marriage, don't make the argument that it's because two people love one another. In fact, the reason that marriage is promoted and endorsed by the state is not because two people love one another. The main reason that the state is involved in marriage at all is because only a heterosexual couple can bring forth children, which is the fundamental building block of society. If you want to have a civilized society, you have to have men marry women and have them have children and stay together for the benefit of children. That's the primary reason why the state endorses marriage. It's not because two people love one another. We hope they do. But when you go get married, they don't ask you, do you really love her? Do you really love him? The main purpose for marriage is a procreative relationship that brings forth children that establishes a civilized society. Now, we understand the other side is going to say, well, some heterosexual marriages don't have children. We understand that. But the only ones that do are heterosexual. In other words, a same-sex union cannot bring forth children, and that's why marriage must be protected as only between a man and a woman.
Leonard Pitts Jr. writes this, and I want your reaction. Bear with me as I read part of his column from earlier this week. There is an absolute historical pattern to the bigotry of social conservatives. They rally using terms of moral Armageddon against the freedoms sought by some despised or condescended to other, whether to be a woman wanting to work outside the home, a Jew seeking to join a country club, an African American trying to get home on a city bus. Then the freedoms are won. And people, even socially conservative ones, realize that the world kept spinning after all. Armageddon did not come, only change. How do you respond to his assessment of that, what he calls a historical pattern of bigotry among social conservatives?
Well, first of all, I'd like to ask him what he means by bigotry, because as soon as you ask him to define it, he's in trouble. Because if bigotry means you don't agree with him, well, then he's a bigot for not agreeing with me. And if bigotry means that you have a definition of, for marriage that excludes certain behaviors, then everybody is a bigot when it comes to marriage, because the homosexual community doesn't believe in incestuous marriage. At least most of them don't. They don't believe in polygamous marriage. They don't believe in other bestiality. They don't believe in that kind of marriage. So they put limits on marriage, just like the people who say marriage should be between a man and a woman. So I'd love to get his definition of bigotry. Secondly, there's a kernel of truth in his comment here, Todd, and that is, yes, when you make social changes like this, the impact normally isn't felt immediately. It's felt over a long period of time. And let me give you a clean example of this. When California, back in 1970, liberalized its divorce laws and went to no-fault divorce, we didn't see immediately the effects. We see them now 40 years later, that divorce is rampant across the country, which leads to children, obviously, being in single-family homes, which is very difficult for them, which leads to more welfare, higher taxes, more crime, which is why ultimately you can't bifurcate the social and financial issues. The reason we're having fiscal problems now is because morally we've degraded as a country to the point that we now have to have higher taxes and more social programs to deal with our moral problems, which leads to all our financial issues.
Another argument that Pitts makes in his column is that, when it comes to polygamy, which was the parallel that Senator Santorum was trying to draw for his college-aged audience, Pitts essentially says, look, nobody is pushing or feels biologically driven toward polygamous behavior, much less seek social sanctions for it. He basically says nobody really wants this, so it's not a valid argument. Is that relevant, that no one wants
it? First of all, there are people doing this. In fact, Jonathan Turley from George Washington University is currently defending a polygamous group of people. I can't remember whether it's in Idaho or Utah, in the court system, using the same arguments that same-sex marriage people bring to, well, that, you know, they just love one another, so we have to accept it. So there are people doing this, but you're right, Todd, it's not even really the point. The point is that the logic used for same-sex marriage is the same logic you can use for any two people or three people or four people that say you must recognize my marriage as a state because I love the other person. That is not the reason the state endorses marriage to begin with. As I mentioned before, it's for procreation and establishing a civilized society.
The argument that Santorum was responding to originally in New Hampshire was that marriage is about the pursuit of personal happiness or personal self-fulfillment. Respond to that briefly, if you would.
Well, that's part of marriage, but that is not the only main reason for marriage. See, if it just was for personal happiness, why should the state be involved at all? What's the point? The reason the state is involved is because when families get together, procreate, and stay together, the government has a lot less to do. And society is in much better shape. There's lower welfare, lower crime, lower taxes, etc. That's why the state is endorsed. You can leave religion out of it. That's the main reason the state is involved in promoting marriage. Now, look, two homosexual people can get together and pledge themselves till death do them part. The state doesn't need to be involved. The state is not prohibiting that. They can do that. What they want is the social validation that comes with marriage. You know, Todd, only 4% of people who live in 4% of homosexuals who live in areas that have same-sex marriage get married. Only 4%, which goes to show you they're really not interested in getting married. They're interested in the social approval that comes with marriage, because marriage is a great, or the law is a great teacher, and many people think whatever is legal is moral and whatever is illegal is immoral. It's also being used as a club against people who disagree. Photographers are being sued because they refuse to do same-sex weddings. Same thing with caterers. Businesses in certain states like Massachusetts must give benefits to same-sex couples if they give them to heterosexual couples. Doesn't matter if you have a moral or religious objection against it. Children are now being forced to be taught about same-sex relationships as if they are the moral, social, and procreative equivalent of heterosexual relationships. Parents have no right to object. This is being imposed. So it's not live and let live. It's a completely new paradigm.
Frank Turek is founder and president of CrossExamine.org. He's author of the book Correct, Not Politically Correct, How Same-Sex Marriage Hurts Everyone. You can check out this book at our website, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen on Demand page. Frank, thank you very much for your time.
Hey, Todd, I want to mention tomorrow I'll be in St. Louis at First Baptist Church, Ellisville, Missouri, right outside of St. Louis, and it's on our website, CrossExamine.org. We'll be talking about I don't have enough faith to be an atheist, so there's still room available.
All right, Frank, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Dr. Joel Heck of Concordia University, Texas, about Sarah, the wife of Abraham the Patriarch. On Friday, we'll play Issues Etc., Soundbite of the Week. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month is one of those rare gems. I mean, they're all good, but this is a rare gem among some pretty valuable tomes of Issues Etc. Books of the Month. It's called The Problem of Suffering, and it's written by someone who is acquainted with suffering personally. It's not just a tear-jerking story. It is a heart-rending story, in fact, but it's more than that. It is genuine biblical comfort in the midst of real suffering, and not a way of denying the suffering, but the way of highlighting the theology of the cross, that our only assurance of God's comfort, our only assurance of God's favor toward us is not in the circumstances of our life, but in the circumstances of Christ's life and his death and his resurrection, that sure and certain anchor of our faith that is wholly and entirely outside of ourselves, extranos, as the old Lutheran theologians used to say. You'll find that all over the Issues Etc. Book of the Month. Just call Concordia Publishing House and ask for the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, The Problem of Suffering. 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Look, I have no problem being called a bigot for holding to views that are simply reasonable, for warning people that, as I've said for years now on these airwaves, if we define marriage as anything other than one man and one woman, then we will have to define marriage as anything other than one man or one woman, and I mean anything. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.